be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. And that is such an important part. If you hear the word, but you don't do it, it's worse than nothing. You're deceiving yourself. More about that later. I would like to read that verse in its context, and that's in James, of course, chapter 1. I'll be reading verses 19 through 27. Know this, my beloved brethren. Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, will be blessed in his doing. If anyone thinks he's religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to visit widows and orphans in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the world. Be a doer and not a hearer only. Don't get angry, because when you're angry, the end result that you're looking to achieve will never be achieved. Because our human anger can't be ruled well by our fallen nature. It gets away from us. How many of you, and again, this is one of those OBL, don't raise your hands, because I really don't want to out you in public, but how many of you really lost your temper and just gotten almost uncontrollably angry in the last year or so? Got one back here. Well, I have. And it doesn't produce the righteousness of God. I appreciate this statement in Ecclesiastes, and if you want to look at it, you'll find it in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 9. Do not be eager in your heart to be angry, for anger resides in the bosom of fools. And you know, there are some people who are always itching for a fight and itching for trouble, and it just seems they're always looking for something to complain about or blow up about. It's not a spirit that a Christian would profit from, is it? This could be an extremely short discourse. I could give you the main point of this discourse right now, and we could sing our closing hymn. But I'll probably go a little bit beyond that. But here's the main point. And I was just delighted when I came across this. And it's from our theme text. Be not hearers of the word only, but be doers of the word. So, you know, you break out the Strong's. Actually, now that I'm getting older and getting a little arthritis in my hands, I'm glad I don't have to bring out the Strong's, you know, and lay it down and turn the pages. It's so big. I can just point and click on my computer and there it is for me. The word for doers is poietes. And in the Greek language, it's the word also translated in our New Testament, poets. And that Greek word actually is where we get our English word, poet, from. And I thought, that's lovely. Don't just hear the word, but be a poet of the word. How does the poetry come in? You know, what is the purpose of poetry? Here in the United States, we have the Library of Congress each year elect someone of remarkable talent in writing poetry to be the poet laureate of the United States. And their role is to use poetry to elevate the consciousness of the country to issues that are meaningful and important and enduring. So be poets of the word. How does that work? I'll relate two experiences of my own. Both come from my work situation, and I may have mentioned them previously at other conventions, so if you've heard it, my apologies. But I had a coworker, and this coworker was the anti-me. Everything that I was in love with and sensitive to, you know, the word God, righteousness, not evil speaking, going above and beyond the call and trying to help others and asking what can I do to help, this person was not. And actually, in a way, defiantly so. And would purposefully use the name of our Lord as a swear word throughout the day. And everything about this person just grated on me to the point where I thought, I have to find another job or hurt him or something. Don't worry, my Christian principles would not allow me to do that. But I struggled mightily inside. The tension was intolerable. And I prayed about this. And I remember one night praying in particular earnest. You know, pray for your enemies. Love your enemies. Pray for those who despitefully use you. Lord, I'm trying. I'm trying. I'm trying. Give me the love and the spirit to not just tolerate this person, but to love them. And so, it happened the next day that this person came to my office door and put their head down on the sash of the door and said, I can't take it anymore. And just started pouring their heart out to me. And it was heartbreaking to hear. The stresses that they were going through in their daily lives were just ready to kill them. It was more than they could bear. They could hardly function at work. No wonder they weren't saying, hey, can I do some work for you? Because they could hardly do their own work. They reached out to me to get some help. And we were able to do that through some of the physicians that we work with and the employee assistance program. And a tender side of that relationship opened up. Now, if I wasn't a doer of the word, I would have never seen the poetry and the beauty in that scenario. I would have said, you know, the best thing would be if he got fired, get rid of him. But he didn't. He got loved. And I got a far greater blessing than if we had gotten rid of him. Be poets of the word. Put the word of God into reality in your life, in reality of practice. Do it and look at the fruit that will come forth from that act of faith. The second experience, I needed a shipment from one of our suppliers desperately. It was a device used in testing our patients in the laboratory that I work at. And it had been backordered and mishandled and finally came to the hospital and the receiving crew misplaced it. I was wound really tight by the time they came to my office door, two guys, to say, here's your package, and they handed it to me, and it wasn't my package. And I uncharacteristically snapped at them and sent them running off back to the storeroom. You know, this guy's sitting there, the old white beard and wet hair and relatively tall and got the white lab coat on, you know, the voice of authority. And man, I started thinking about that. The anger of man works not the righteousness of God. And so I got up out of my chair and got on the elevator down to the lower levels of the hospital where the storeroom was, walked up to the two of them, and apologized for snapping at them. And it was very difficult for me to do, you know, swallowing the pride, wondering how they would react. Would they yell at me? Would they pick a fight with me? What's going to happen here? But I took the principles of God and applied it, and poetry happened. It was a sweet reality of the verity of the principles of Christ that we obey. So in a sense, there you go. That's the discourse. Be poets of the Word of God. But wait, there's more. I love the lesson of the parable in Matthew 21, verses 28 through 31. Matthew 21, 28 through 31. It's classic. I guess maybe it's kind of a reminder to me of my childhood years. Yeah. Sure, Dad. It reads like this. What do you think? A man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, Son, go to work today in the vineyard. And he answered, I will not. But afterward, he regretted it, and he went. The man came to the second son and said the same thing, and he answered, I will, sir. But he did not go. Jesus said, which of the two did the will of his father? And they said, the first. Jesus said to them, truly I say to you that the tax collectors and prostitutes will get into the kingdom of God before you. And I love this parable because it teaches a concept that is meaningful to me. A concept that kind of makes me feel off the hook a little bit when I fail. I don't believe that we're judged on our instant responses to things. You know, as human beings, sometimes we have things that trigger us, and we just instantly blurt things out that we later regret, or give flippant answers that we just kind of gnash our teeth on later and say, I wish I had not done that. And then we go and make corrective measures, and we do what we said we would not do. The Lord looks at the long haul of our Christian lives. It's the longer experience. It's the thought out, meditated, spiritually informed actions that are the most meaningful to Him. And so if we lose our tempers, don't be upset. Just keep going. Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9, I'll be reading from the New International Version. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. And I love that reading. Put it into practice. I know of an ecclesia that did a lengthy study of the Fruits of the Spirit book. Anybody else look at that? The aggregation of articles on the various fruits of the Spirit. I think the Chicago ecclesia published that. And as they were studying it, there was a brother in their area who started coming to the studies. And the brother could be very disagreeable. And the brother didn't dress the way the brethren felt he should dress. And pretty soon tensions were developing and it was getting uncomfortable and we were studying brotherly kindness. Isn't that perfect? Oh. The awesome wisdom of our Creator. Brotherly kindness. And we're studying this. You know, we'd already finished off patience, so we're well armed. We've got patience. And finally things blew up with this person. And they left. Never to return. And the brethren, after having studied brotherly kindness and patience and love and all, said, thank goodness. It's so good to be rid of that. But then, they started thinking about it and thinking, we did not do the right thing here. We did not do the right thing. And so several of them reached out, handed an olive branch, made amends, still decided to go to a different ecclesia. But amazing that we can spend months studying something in the scriptures. And when it comes to applying it in the moment, drop the ball. So if we do, don't worry about it. We've got a very merciful coach, a very patient coach. Just get back on the program. What keeps us from being doers of the word, putting it into practice? Well, I think the number one reason, in my opinion, maybe some of you would have a different number one reason, but my number one reason is lack of trust. Lack of trust. I want to read a few scriptures along those lines. Proverbs 3, verses 5 through 8. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. Turn away from evil. It will be a healing to your body and refreshment to your bones. Put your trust in the Lord with all your heart. Now I can remember events in my life going back to, and people tell me there's no way you can, but I was there. I know. I remember my first birthday party. Because they were celebrating me. Wow. This is great. I like being alive. You know, the candle burning on the cake, one candle on the cake, and here Obi blow the candle out. I remember that. I remember about the age of 2, they took me to this public swimming pool for the first time, and I'd never seen such a vast body of water in my life. And I was overawed by it, and I saw my dad go in the water, and he was swimming around having a great time, and my oldest brother went in the water, and he was swimming around having a great time, and my next oldest brother went in the water, and he was swimming around having a great time, but I would not jump in the water, because I knew I would die. But my dad came to the side of the pool, and he said, no, jump in. I can't. Trust me. I'm going to catch you. So I jumped in, and he was right. I did not die. He caught me, and I remember the sense of elation that I did this. This is great. And I had a wonderful time at the pool that day. Our Heavenly Father is telling us, jump in the pool. I'll catch you. Don't be afraid. Be poets of the word. I appreciate Job's statement in Job 13:15. And it's one of those classic verses that we hear quite frequently in our Bible student association. But unfortunately, we usually only hear the first half of it. And so today I'm going to include the second half, because I think it's very meaningful. And it reads this way, Job 13, verse 15. Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. But I will maintain mine own ways before him. What does that mean? So Job is saying to his supposed comforters, if God slays me, even then, I will still trust him. But the second part's important. He's saying, I'm not a punching bag, though. I'm not just going to lay back and take my lumps and say, okay, hit me again, Lord. Hit me again. Go ahead. And be defeatist and fatalistic about it. In this experience, Job would not acquiesce to the trials that were upon him. But he said, I'll go before the Lord, and I'll tell him, I have been trying to do this in a righteous way, and this in a righteous way. And I'm going to argue my case before him, and it won't just be one-way communication from the Lord to me. It'll be two ways, just like a father and child ought to communicate. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him, but I will argue my case before him. And I think that's a healthy thing for us to do spiritually. Be doers of the word, be poets of the word. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Putting our trust in the Lord. The benefits of experiential Christianity and not theoretical Christianity. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that it is good and acceptable and perfect. Why are we transformed by the renewing of our mind? Put something to the proof. The proof of the pudding, as they used to say, is the tasting thereof, right? Oh, that's a delicious pudding. How do you know? Because I tasted it. I sampled it. I proved it. And we need to take the principles of God and put them into practical use in our daily lives. Do the will of God. Like my experience with the two guys in the storeroom. Okay, Obi? Go do the will of God. And I did that. I did the will of God. And you know what I found out? Even though I thought, oh, this could be very bad, I found out, no, this is very good. Or I could think, this is very unacceptable. It's making my stomach very, very nervous. And this is not... No, I found out this is very acceptable. And I found out that the will of God is perfect. Perfect. I would like for us all to be poets of the word. And we sing the hymn, My Life Goes On, in endless song, above earth's lamentation. I hear the sweet, not far off hymn
that hails a new creation.
And do you hear the music? You know, usually music is like poetry set to notes. Do you hear the music as you're walking the walk with the Lord? And that's part of the beauty of being doers of the word and not hearers only. Jesus said in Matthew 7, 24 through 27, everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on a rock. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. The only difference between the two builders is that one did the word of God, and the other did not. Remember back in James, it said, be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. You can be in your spiritual house that's built on the sand, and be deceiving yourselves, thinking that the storms of life can be weathered there, you know, you just close the doors, the shutters, and you'll be okay, but no. It says of that house that it fell, but it didn't just fall, it says great was the fall of it. Hear the words, and do them. Hear the words and put them to the test, to the proof. Hear the words and make poetry in your daily life with them. James spoke of the engrafted word. And in appreciating the engrafted word, we look to the significance that Peter puts on it. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 22 through 25. And the punchline of this is verse 25. To me, it's a powerhouse Bible verse. Power. 1 Peter 1:22 through 25. Since you have, in obedience to the truth, purified your souls for a sincere love of the brethren, fervently love one another from the heart. For you have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable. That is, through the living and enduring word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls off, but the word of God endures forever. And this is the word which was preached to you. The word that dwells in your heart and mind is a word from God that will last eternally. You know, when spring comes around, I start thinking about it's time to do something with the lawn, try to get it to green up and look good again. So I go to the Home Depot or Lowe's or whatever garden center, and I like to consider myself a discerning grass seed buyer. So I put on my readers, and I go up to the first bag, and I pull it down. You know, it's on sale. It's only $3.50 for a 20-pound bag. You know, this is a bargain. But as you read it, you know, the germination rate is 82% and weed content about 10%. And who knows what else is in there? Maybe something nuclear. Who knows? So I eventually moved down the line to finally, and I'm not being paid to endorse this, but I grabbed the bag of Scott's grass seed, and I pull that down. Germination rate, 99.4%. Weed content, zero. $20 for 3 pounds. Sold. Right? Because of the quality of it. The quality of the Word of God and the principles of God are eternal. It's a 100% germination rate. And it lasts forever. That is the seed that we are begotten with. And that, dear friends, is the end of our presentation today. It's been a delight to be together with you in convention. We do love you all very much. And I meant what I said. Each of you is very unique and a special treasure. We appreciate you much. And may the Lord bless you as you go out and be poets of the word.